Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
4:01 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Our people, our businesses, and our leaders will help hashtag Move California forward. You can help move us forward and stay connected while listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan, kicking it off here in the 4 o'clock hour.
You mean kicking them off?
Kicking them off. The thing that's bad about that intro is that the kicking off thing takes all the precedence and the attention away from the Red Velvet disaster.
It does. That's why I love it in that segment so much.
That's why you like it so much.
It's because kicking it off just takes over for the Red Velvet. Ravavat cake part. Nevertheless, we got a Chris versus the Fan to get to. What's our prize today? Gentlemen,
we got a pretty good prize, man. You want to read Scrape?
No, go for it, Chris.
You're going to win a $50 gift card from Rochambeau's. Rochambeau's are virtually unbreakable. Well, I'll see about that. Virtually unbreakable, bend in half, flexible, and so light that they float. These polarized lenses are available for the whole family. Rochambeau's is a San Diego hometown brand. Visit Rochambeau's.com. That's Rochambeau's.com. I wasn't meaning to say that these are unbreakable glasses. I'm saying I've seen me at work on things that are supposedly unbreakable, Scraby.
You know, I can
unfortunately have that effect. But Rochambeau's, they're terrific. They're also sponsors on the home run tally. Mm-hmm. They've been giving away sunglasses every time the Padres hit a home run. These guys really laying out the cash or laying out the product yesterday with the 6 home run day. So thanks to everybody at Rochambeau's.
Rochambeau's got taxed yesterday with that 6
home
run.
Yeah, they did a little bit,
by the Padres. Nevertheless, that is the prize we have. Scraby, how good are your questions this week, bro?
I spent a lot of time on them, so I feel like they're strong.
You spent a lot of time on them. That doesn't mean anything good for anybody.
I did research. I brought out books. I went to the library.
Let's put it to the test. Let's get to Chris versus the Fan.
Even though you're not supposed to go to the library.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Scraby, you can read the rules.
You have to make it through 3 questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then they move you on. Then you move on to the next question or win. Okay, hold on real quick before we get into the game. I know I'm talking really fast right now, but Chris, I will say you were wrong about your Harrison Ford going to high school in San Diego. I'm sorry to tell you, but I was reminded by everyone that I need to get that out. And I did.
What school? Where did he actually go to school?
Somewhere in the Midwest.
Ah, I see.
Not Grossmont High School. Is everything
okay,
Chris?
Just going to be quiet for now.
Come on. I'm wrong all the time.
Let's go to Eric. Easy money. I don't have a last name. Eric, easy money, man. You got to have a better performance than last time. I think you got ousted in the first round last time.
I know. That's why it took me a while to come back.
You studied up. I see. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get to the first question.
Hey.
What 9-time Pro Bowler quarterback played his entire career with the Denver Broncos?
The GM, Elway, John Elway.
Ooh, nice work. John Elway is correct.
Yes.
He gets out of the first round into the second round where it gets serious. Question number two.
I'll take that single.
This quarterback has played for the Minnesota Vikings, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Oakland Raiders. He was also the 2002 MVP. Who is he?
Oh, my. Can you repeat the question?
Nope.
We are out of time. I'll give you a piece of it. Quarterback, he played for Chiefs, played for the Raiders as well.
Cannon guy.
Cannon guy is incorrect. Because Cannon is what they shoot Elo for the
steel.
Well, you're supposed to shoot a Gannon, right?
What I think he wanted to say was Gannon, but Rich he Gannon. Said Cannon. Yeah. Rich Gannon is the quarterback. Sorry. Easy money.
Almost easy money.
Got a little further this time. Try again next week.
That hurts.
Or tomorrow.
You guys are tough, man. You guys are tough on the contestants.
Yeah.
I thought Tony was going to give him that, to be honest.
No, I mean, listen, you got to at least get the last name right. It can't be Cannon.
Cannon guy, that doesn't count.
Cannon, yeah, that doesn't count. It's got to be Cannon. All right, we're back to our first contestant, Rich out in Poway. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. How you doing today, Rich?
Yo, what's up, gentlemen?
Well, yeah, what's love going it. On?
Love the energy. Let's get to this first question. To prevent bouncing, what happens to the hockey puck a few hours before games?
What?
To prevent bouncing, what happens to a hockey puck a few hours before the game?
Are they giving a massage and a glass of wine? Or
I wish.
I'm going to go. A good answer. I want to give
wait,
it to
wait.
Him.
Oh, wait. Okay, here we go. Let's give him his answer.
That's you, Rich.
Rich, you
know. I'm going to say they humidify it.
Humidify it.
Uh-oh.
That is incorrect. Chris, for the steal.
They freeze it.
They do freeze the plastic puck. Makes
Sorry,
it
Rich.
Rock hard. Rich, thank you for competing. We move to our next contestant, David out in Kearney Mesa. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. How you doing, David?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Hi, David. Here you go. First question. Yeah. You really did some research on this one, Scraby. What fast food restaurant sells the Whopper?
I forgot about that one.
Burger King.
Burger King is correct.
All the other people were like, why couldn't I have gotten that one? I fantasized about eating a Whopper this weekend, but I didn't.
You know what? I could always tell when you were thinking about food because one of those ends up in the questions.
I'm like,
sure.
That would be a great question.
Here we go. Question number two. What former Brooklyn Dodger owner crossed the color barrier and signed Jackie Robinson to his team?
Oh, the owner?
Yes.
Oh. I give up. I don't know that one.
I wouldn't have known it off the top of my head unless I watched the movie over the weekend, which I did. So that's why this question's here.
Chris,
Branch Rickey?
Branch Rickey is
correct.
Sorry,
David.
Sorry,
I wasn't
David.
Sure on that one because I knew he was the general manager. I didn't know he was the owner, too.
Well, you never know what Scraby asking
yeah,
questions.
I would double-check that one, but I'll take it for now.
On to our next contestant.
Now I'm looking around like, uh-oh.
Anthony, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Anthony, how you doing?
Oh, I don't think – oh, wait, let me make sure this is not him because his name – okay, that was weird.
What?
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Anthony, are you there?
Anthony.
Oh. Scraby thinks if he yells it loud, it'll make it come true.
He's not here.
So are we out of contestants?
No, I just haven't written down the rest of them. Let's go Philip in Mission Valley. Philip.
Philip, Mission Valley. What's going on, Philip? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been crying Cy Young's name all weekend since I lost last week.
Cy Young, gotcha.
All right. Well, let's get to it. Question number one. Mitsubishi, Sony, Toyota are all companies with roots in what country?
Japan.
Correct. On to question number two. What player misplaced his helmet prior to Super Bowl 26, causing him to miss the first two plays of the game?
Super Bowl 26, so that's a long time ago, that's probably in the 70s. So let's say Terry Bradshaw.
By process of elimination, that is incorrect.
Stay there.
Chris,
no,
still?
That was unfortunate for Thurman Thomas.
Oh, man, Chris is on
that's
fire
right,
today.
Hall of right Fame career, but not a Hall of Fame move by Thurman Thomas.
How did he lose his
helmet? They kind of needed it. He just put it somewhere and didn't know where it was, or somebody moved it.
That's like a bad dream. Like, you go to sleep, and you're like, I'm in the Super Bowl, but I can't find my helmet.
Here come the Buffalo Bills out onto the field, and Thurman Thomas wasn't in the lineup, and everybody's like, where is Thurman Thomas? This is the Super Bowl, for heaven's sakes.
I played a couple years of Pop Warner, and that was like the one fear I feel like everybody on the team at is like, you better know where your helmet is when it's time to go in the game, or you're getting
or your
yelled.
Glove at the end of an inning. Did you always put your glove in the same place all the time?
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, well, let's get to
we
our next
one
contestant.
More because we have our guest.
Anthony, are you there this time?
Anthony? I feel bad for these guys because we're having problems with our phone. So,
well, there's an excuse I've never heard before.
Here's Jose in Chula Vista.
Jose and Chula Vista, welcome to Gwen and Chris. How you doing, Jose?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Doing well.
Thanks, Chris. By the way,
working just fine.
It's some people. I pick up some people. They're there, but they're not there.
Yeah, I know.
Don't be mad at us, callers. It's really just Scraby.
It's not me. It's not me. It's not me.
First question.
Scraby. Okay. Writing the management's complaint.
Who was the Packers' head coach when they defeated the Steelers in Super Bowl 45?
I think it was Mike Sherman.
Mike Sherman?
Oh, no, Jose.
Oh, yes, Jose. Mike McCarthy was the coach, I believe.
Mike McCarthy? That is correct.
Wow.
That is going to do it.
Don't you hate that, Scraby, when I run the table after you worked all weekend on those questions?
He was determined to run the table after you made the little wisecrack about his... after him being wrong about what was
about
it?
Harrison
was wrong?
Ford.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
I want you guys to know that during the entire game of Chris versus
the fans, what he's doing.
I've just been looking up Harrison Ford's life, and trying to find out where I got this wrong. But everything I've come across says he did go to high school in the Chicago area. So I don't know where I messed that up somewhere along the line. But I thought he went to Grossmont High School. So my bad. Sorry, Grossmont High School.
Sorry, contestants. You had to be the one that paid for it. Sorry.
Yeah, he shouldn't have said anything. I mean, now he just wiped out all my questions. Yeah,
Scraby will be hard at work with more questions come tomorrow. But we need to get to a break. When we come back, I believe we have Dan Wolkin coming on, don't we?
We sure do.
College football season is in a lot of trouble, people.
Yeah. We're gonna
it's more than in trouble.
We're going to get to all of it when we return. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, 419 The Time. Don't forget, we are closing in on Padre baseball tonight. 5:40 for the pregame show. 6:40 tonight, Dodger Stadium. Padres and Dodgers. Can the Dodgers cool off the hottest hitter on the planet? Fernando Tatis Jr. and the Padres will take on the Dodgers tonight at 6:40. We'll see what happens. But right now, college football and a season that is on very shaky ground, unfortunately. Joining us from USA Today Sports, Dan Wolkin. Appreciate his time. I'm sure he's very busy today. But, Dan, thanks so much. We appreciate having you on. Let me just start out real quick. Where do things stand right now as far as this upcoming college football season is concerned with the Power Five conferences? And I've even heard mention of the Mountain West Conference maybe making an announcement as well, if they haven't already.
Yeah, they have. Mountain West is not playing this year, at least in the fall. So they and the MAC are the two FBS conferences that have already pulled the plug on the fall season. I think we'll see the Big Ten and the Pac-12 probably have similar announcements coming up in the next couple days. You know, and then we'll just see what happens from there. But look, there's just huge challenges of trying to run college football while we have the levels of COVID infection in the country. There's new studies about heart issues for even for athletes who've recovered, and you know, just the great care that's going to need to be taken to protect you know, guys who maybe even don't have a lot of symptoms that, you know, they end up having this heart inflammation. Well, you know, you have to really monitor that and test that, and just the long-term impact of all this. It's a little bit scary for some of these administrators. So I think you'll end up seeing the consensus being put this thing on pause, you know, learn a little more, hope that the country gets its arms around this virus, hope that testing improves, therapeutics, all those things, and we'll see. You know, we'll just have to see.
Dan, I mean, you mentioned some new studies coming out. Is that what changed? Because it seemed like everything was moving, you know, according to plan. Teams had decided they were going to stay in conference. But it seems like there's a shift that happened. Do we know exactly what seemed to kind of change the playing field, so to speak?
Well, I think it's a big part of it. You know, this idea that, you know, you could have significant numbers of players who end up suffering from this myocarditis inflammation of the heart and not really knowing enough about that yet. Also, it's just as you get closer to the season, as you get closer to the games you were going to play, that maybe people just are a little bit more cautious. You know, it's students are coming back to campus. You know, everything looks good on paper, but then you actually start doing it and people start getting infected, and it becomes a real challenge. So, yeah, I mean, it does seem like an abrupt change, but that's also, I think, part and parcel of not having a lot of great leadership within college sports to sort of shepherd everybody through this.
Yeah, it's too bad, but it looks like, well, it doesn't even look like. I mean, there's not going to be a Mountain West Conference college football season, at least not in 2020. Dan Wolkin is with us, USA Today Sports. The rest of the conferences, the MAC already announced over the weekend, and other conferences are sure to follow. Okay, so Dan, the spring, is there any chance of a spring schedule? And if so, how would that look? What would be some of the dynamics of playing in the spring college football? Is that actually really a possibility? Let's just say that we are able to kind of wrap our arms around this COVID thing by the end of the calendar year. Could they? Does the spring college football season actually make sense?
Well, look, I think that if it's the last resort and it's the only opportunity, then it's something you have to take a strong look at.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not ideal. It's not convenient. It would certainly create some issues that the schools would have to deal with. But it's worth exploring. And I know that there's people who've been thinking about this for months. I first heard about it back in late March, you know, when some people were kind of kicking that idea around, but it never got a lot of popular support because there was always this focus on, well, you know, by the time, you know, summer, the fall, the infection numbers will be much better. The testing will be better. We'll be able to have a season. And unfortunately, just a lot of that hasn't come to fruition. It's all just tied to the virus, you know, and so spring could be an option if the country's just in sort of a better position and there's fewer infections and the likelihood of players getting this is much less, especially with, you know, better testing or, you know, also the possibility of a vaccine that is being talked about as potentially being ready, you know, early next year. So there's all those things. Just buying time can sometimes be your friend.
Dan, can I ask you about the Power Five conferences? Obviously, there was talk yesterday that there's some expectation that the Pac-12 or the Big Ten would be the first of the Power Five conferences to make a similar announcement to what we had of the Mountain West Conference today. And my question for you is, with the SEC being the dominant conference, the one that kind of leads the way, at least in terms of play on the field, why wouldn't they be one of the first to actually make an announcement like this?
Well, the SEC had moved back already the start of their season to September 25th. And the reason they did that, and I don't think, and I think this was very well intentioned and probably the wise move, was to just buy a little bit more time and just sort of see where things were going, you know, see what the trajectory was, so that maybe by late September, if things were in a better place, that you could pull this off.
Right.
You know, and if you can't, you can't. But at least you were going to give yourself a little bit of runway. That was the thinking of the SEC. And I think they would like to hold to that as best they can. It's just a matter of, are other conferences going to continue playing, or are they going to be out there on an island?
Dan Wolkin is with us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline from USA Today Sports. Nice enough on a busy day to join us, talk some college football. Dan, I don't know how much this affects the rest of the sports and college sports, but I know it has an effect. Let's just talk about basketball for now, men's basketball, maybe even to a certain extent women's basketball. Does this put those sports in peril, or is that a separate entity that has a little more time to try to see if they can't, you know, get a little more information?
Well, I can tell you that people within the college basketball community have watched what's unfolded with football and are trying to figure out, is there a way we can do this, because the NCAA tournament is crucially important for them to play. They already missed one. Missing two would be a real debacle from a financial standpoint. So you are going to have, I think, a lot of emphasis and a lot of creativity that people try to put into how do we make this work, and whether that's, you know, some types of bubbles, mini bubbles. You know, you go in for 2 weeks and play a bunch of games. You know, there's all different kinds of things that people are thinking about. College basketball may be a little easier to manage in some ways because it's just fewer people, but it also may be harder. We'll see. But I do know that they're not just going to sit there and wait around and just hope things get better. I think the urgency is now enough in those sports that they're really trying to think of alternative solutions.
Dan Wolkin, man. Great stuff, Dan. Just not great news, unfortunately. Thanks so
much
for
your time.
Yeah, there's
not been a lot of great news of late. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You're not the bearer of good news today, unfortunately. But, Dan, we'll look forward to catching up with you again when you are. Thanks for informing us out here in San Diego and keeping us up to date. We appreciate all the work you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, there is Dan Wolkin from USA Today Sports on the San Diego County Credit Union Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU for you, or to apply online, visit sdccu.com. I have a feeling, Tony, that a lot of people maybe just jumped in their car, and honestly hearing that for the first time here in the last few minutes, that Mountain West Conference football is not going to happen this fall. I mean, that's honestly just something that was started circulating within the last hour, hour and a half or so. And the fact that there's not going to be an Aztec season, and probably nobody else is going to be able to play a season either. I mean, that's a jolt. That's a definite jolt. And it's too bad. I know the kids want to play, or many of them do want to play, and they're trying to start something to see if they can't get a players coalition together. But you have to do what's best and what's safe for the majority of these athletes. And I don't see how they could keep a handle on all of it if they had college football going on all over the country. Even if teams were staying in their conferences, it wouldn't really matter.
I mean, listen, we're seeing how difficult it is at the professional level, where resources are plentiful. and you have, you know, adults that are have lived some life and have experienced some things. We see how difficult it is in those circumstances. Now, you try to put that same format at the collegiate level where there's less resources and there's a lot younger adults out there, and it doesn't set up well. It really doesn't. And I think what's allowed professional sports, I think ultimately more than anything, to have a chance to play is the resources. College sports just doesn't have it. By the evidence is by the mere fact that by football not playing in the fall, there's pretty much not going to be any sports playing in the fall because football drives all of it. And so without the resources, to me, this was a long time coming. It's kind of like the NFL in some regards, right, where you had the ability to kind of push it to the side and pretend like we're just going to march forward. Only before time eventually was not on your side, and that's where we are right now. Time is no longer on college football side. It's no longer on the NFL side, and the difference is one has resources, the other doesn't.
Yeah, not the resources to get over 100 teams in action playing all over this country, and putting the health of student athletes at risk. We can't do it, and unfortunately, yeah, there will be no college football this fall. Hopefully they can learn some more things, and we can be in a better spot by the spring, and they'll be able to squeeze a season in the spring. But right now, that is the word from Dan Wolkin, USA Today Sports, and everybody around college football. Expect the Power Five conferences to make those announcements as soon as tomorrow, if not later on today. There's really not a whole lot more for them to wait for. All right, Padres and Dodgers coming up tonight. 5-4. We are so lucky to have Padres and Dodgers coming up tonight when you think about it, what's going on in our world of sports in general. Yeah. So looking forward to the pregame show at 5:40, first pitch at 6:40 tonight. And guess who that first pitch is going to be thrown to, Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Who's that first pitch going to be thrown to?
Fernando Tatis Jr. will be waiting for it.
Don't miss it then. You can't miss it. You better be tuned in when the game starts then.
He is. In case anybody's wondering, the Padre lineup is out. Jace Tingler not resting Fernando Tatis Jr. tonight.
Really? I thought today he'd give him one.
You thought he'd give him a day off?
Yeah. No.
and you know what people are saying? They ought to move him in the lineup and get him down to third or fourth. I don't think you can touch him right now, right?
You certainly can't. You don't want to do it right now. I mean,
not right now.
Can't make an out. But
no.
And that's the other thing. If you have somebody that you can put at the top of the lineup that's going to do as good a job, okay. Because certainly having Fernando Tatis hitting second or third, there could be some serious damage done there.
Yeah, he's got 18 RBIs out of the leadoff spot right now. Right. I don't know that anyone's. I'd have to go way, way back or get a scrappy screw up question to find this out. But I don't know too many leadoff hitters who lead the major leagues in RBIs. It's not the place to normally do that from, but he's only one behind Aaron Judge right now.
The only one I could think of that did it for a little bit was Brady Anderson that one crazy year.
Oh, man. Right, the year he hit 50? Yeah. I don't know that he led the league in RBI.
I don't think he did. I don't think he did the whole year for sure.
Yeah, maybe for a while. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we got a big five ahead. More Padre talk a little bit later on as well. Stick around until the Padre pregame show at 5:40. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. on 97.3 The Fan.
This hour is brought to you by Spectrum Business. Now more than ever, small businesses need the best internet and phone solution at the best value. And Spectrum Business is proud to help, offering new customers 1 month of internet, voice, and TV service for free. Visit business.spectrum.com today to learn more. Lakers in action tonight against the Denver Nuggets. Only two games remaining in the bubble. Playoffs.
The Lakers are in too much action right now, my friend. It seems like they're watching the other teams in action at the moment.
Touche. They are. I can't have nothing to say.
But I don't blame them. I mean, why would they be busting it right now? They're already wrapped everything up. They're just cruising to the playoffs. That's
right. If there was no pandemic, this is the exact type of play you would see from them at the end of a season where they start experimenting with things. But nevertheless, just wanted to fill my Laker friends with that. I also want to send a shout out to Steve, who called in to remind us that it was the O'Malley
Walter O'Malley.
Walter O'Malley, who was the owner of the Dodgers when Jackie Robinson was signed, and Branch Rickey was the GM who signed Jackie Robinson. Yeah. So thank you, Steve.
So in order to get that question right, I had to assume that Scraby had the wrong answer and
correct.
Then make a guess based on my assumption that Scraby would be wrong.
Right.
Tells you how closely I watch movies, because it pops on my phone when I was watching 42, and I wrote that question. So
there you have it. All right, Scraby. Before I give you the floor, let's check traffic with Kelly Denning.
Well, people are dropping stuff in the roadway this afternoon. Traveling on the northbound 5 coastline just before Oceanside Boulevard, some sort of metal debris in lanes. Also, southbound 125 past Grossmont, watch out for some debris in lanes. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Gwen and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we have a lot to get to here in the Big Five, so we're going to get started.
Number five.
And we're going to start with the PGA Championship because Brooks Koepka, he was coming into Sunday. Everybody thought, oh, he was going to run to the top of the leaderboard with all of his experience in the PGA Championship, trying to get to his third win. Well, he found himself in a little bit of hot water on Saturday after he was asked by Amanda Baliones of CBS what he can bring to Sunday to try to win his third championship in a row. And here is Brooks's answer.
Just play solid golf. Just do what I've been doing. I feel like I'm right there. I just need a solid round, and you know, a lot of the guys on the leaderboard are, you know, I don't think of one, or I guess DJ's only won one, but I don't know the other guys that are up there, but a lot of experience, I guess, is what I can bring to it, and know that I've been in this position quite a few times over the last couple years, and just play well.
I really enjoy the pause in the middle. Like, I'm going to try to think of people at the top of the leaderboard here. Rory McIlroy, though, my guy, the best guy in the world. You guys are still there, right?
Yep.
Maybe.
Okay, good. I haven't heard anything, and I'm like, where the heck are they?
Well, we're trying to let you
thank you.
Your
it just freaked
off,
me
buddy.
Out because... And then Tony was in a pose like he got frozen on the Zoom camera. Anyway, Rory McIlroy responded when asked on Sunday and said, quote, "If you've won a major championship, you're a hell of a player. I mean, sort of hard to knock a guy that's got 21 wins on the PGA Tour, which is three times what Brooks has." So Rory McIlroy not holding back. Chris, is Brooks still in the clear to kind of talk this way?
Yes.
Yes.
He sure is. He's you know what? We get mad all the time when we want these guys to answer honestly, and then they do, then we get mad at their answer because it's not politically correct. Brooks Koepka, part of what makes him tick is that he thinks he's God's gift to the world. If you don't like that, too bad. But that's what motivates him. That's what gets him going. He does think he's better than everybody, and he's not afraid to say it. And you know what? When you think that way and you get your butt kicked like he did yesterday, you take it, you get your butt kicked, and you got to come back the next time. But I don't have a problem with Brooks Koepka being the way he is. He's confident. He's cocky. He's arrogant. But that's what motivates him to do well. And look, Dustin Johnson, scoreboard. He's won one. He's had the lead going into the final round umpteen times now. And yet again, yesterday, he came up short. Brooks Koepka doesn't usually come up short, but yesterday he did. He's got to wear it.
Dustin Johnson's also won a PGA Tour tournament like for the last 13 years in a row or something crazy like
I think
that.
Dustin Johnson's a great player. I don't think Brooks Koepka was knocking him down. He was just saying that he's won one.
Okay. Tony, is Brooks still in the clear to talk this way?
Is he in the clear? He's in the clear as long as he can wear when it blows up in his face like it did this weekend. I have zero problem with a guy being confident and letting you know how confident he is. And after listening to him, I think he just The reason why he said Justin Johnson's the name the way he did is because he couldn't think of anybody else who had actually won one on that list. And I think he ended up kind of just blurting out, Dustin Johnson's won one. I don't know if he meant anything by it. That being said, it is quite hilarious, though, that he was popping off the way he was.
Oh, yeah.
And he completely, I think he ended up like one stroke ahead of Tiger when it was all said and done.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
So I think as long as Brooks wears it when he is wrong, I have zero problem with him being him. And now, if he starts getting a little salty because he pops off, he loses, and people are popping off back at him, then I kind of have a problem. But That's not the case.
And he better not mind the fact that if he ever does win another major, nobody's going to be happy about it.
Right. That too. Right. That all comes with it, right?
Yeah, if you're going to be cocky and arrogant, then don't expect anybody to celebrate with you when you do win it, if you do win again.
I would, though. We don't have time. I wish we had like 4 hours to talk about this, but we just don't have time.
It's golf anyway.
It's great stuff.
Yeah, back to Padres baseball.
The NFL. That choked me up a little bit.
All right? Don't get hurt.
Oh, man. Okay. The NFL is 1 month away from returning to our homes each and every weekend. Can you guys believe that? September 10th was supposed to be the kickoff.
Yeah, month
That's
away.
When they think they're returning to our homes.
They want to make sure we have no shortage of football to watch. If college football is canceled, which is it's going that way, Adam Schefter is hearing something the NFL may do. Here he is on Get Up this morning on ESPN talking about it.
I think the most likely scenario, Greeny, is Saturdays, because Saturdays would be wide open, and that would be a window that the NFL would have. And I think it would like to get past these other sports, the NHL, baseball, the NBA, the presidential election. Just see how things are going in its own sport with how the games are going on during a pandemic. And then there's a window of opportunity. And as you mentioned, there is built-in flexibility with the idea that fans don't have to worry about being in Lambeau Field at 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday because there are no fans. And they don't have to worry about hotels in a certain city. So there's all sorts of flexibility that the NFL will have at its disposal to do the best thing for the league going forward.
That was Adam Schefter on Get Up this morning. Tony, you're up first. Would you like to see the NFL fill in our Saturdays or other days of the week?
Selfishly, yes. I would like to. I mean, listen, if there's no college football, I think this is an opportunity not only to fill some of the dates that we lost, but maybe find more days in between for these teams. Maybe you have a Saturday-Sunday type deal where they get an extra day. I don't know. You can get creative because there aren't as much competition in terms of TV slots. So, selfishly, yes. I don't know if what I would do if my Saturdays were completely blank during...
You'd be doing the same thing you've been doing the last 4.5 months.
Touche. So, I mean, selfishly, I wouldn't mind seeing them fill some of those days.
So that means they're going to have Mondays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays marked off for us.
To me, if you have those type of days, there should be no problem finding a way to get these guys extra days.
Chris, what do you think? Would you like to see
the
NFL?
I think if you're scheduled for first of all, yes, they're going to play on Saturday for sure. They're going to take that day and make it their own. So just get ready for it. But I think that they do have to put a couple of stipulations in. One, if a team plays a Monday night game the week before, then they cannot play on Saturday.
No.
And the other stipulation would be that teams that play on Thursday night the week before could go ahead and then play on Saturday the following week. See what I'm saying? Because you're going to get 9 days off instead of 10, which would be a little bit more to their liking. So, but I just get ready for it, Scraby. They're going to play on Saturday with no college football. I mean, that's a given. If there's an NFL season, there'll be games on Saturday.
I think the reason I had such a quick reaction this morning to this story is because at first it was like they were talking about going on Fridays and they were talking about going on like every day of the week.
I don't really know that they can do that just because of the schedule and try to be fair to the players themselves to recover in time.
Agreed. I asked both of you, right? Yes.
Number three.
NFL Hall of Famer Deion Sanders is usually not very controversial, but with what he said recently, he is now finding himself in a Twitter black hole. He might as well just put it away and not check it for a while. He tweeted, quote, "All players opting out in all sports, please believe the game on without you. This is a business, and don't you ever forget that. There's no one that's bigger than the game itself. Only the ref, umps, and officials are that important that you can't play without them. Not you. Hashtag truth." That was from Deion Sanders on Twitter. Chris, do you agree with Deion Sanders in this instance?
Why is he in trouble?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. He is in trouble.
What's he in trouble for?
Oh, you just know.
Twitter was quite upset.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Twitter's just
upset. For what?
Because you will find. He's right. I could say the sky is blue and someone's going to argue with me about it on Twitter.
Right. I don't know. I think, you know, maybe he's being a little hardcore in the way he's bringing it down, but that's just Deion being Deion. You know, I think what he's trying to say here is you got to be careful, especially in the NFL, about opting out. Not that everybody's right to opt out is real. I mean, there's a lot of issues out there and a lot of things you have to consider before you decide to play. But in the NFL, if you give up a season, they're not going to care about you when it's time to come back. And he's just making that statement clear, and he's pretty accurate about that. I think we all agree. The NFL, if you can't play, if you're not up to snuff, they're not going to care. They'll get somebody else. So I don't see why he's in so much hot water for that statement.
All right, Tony, what do you think? Why do you think he's in so much hot water?
Yeah, I don't know either. I saw this story break over the weekend, and I probably shouldn't have done this, but I just took the headline to be what the story was about, and I immediately thought to myself, why are people upset about that? He's only telling the truth. And you know why he can speak to this? Is because he found this out his own self as he, you know, got older and switched from the Niners to the Cowboys and baseball, the same thing. He certainly recognized.
Did you say
jerk?
I did, because he left the 49ers.
He left your squad?
Yeah, uh-huh.
No, but yeah, I think he could have been I'm sure he could have been a little more softer with his words, but the truth is the truth, and that is the truth.
Number two.
Over to Chris's NHL. Can you believe this? We're getting an NHL story in the Big Five. I have seen a couple reports out there, and it looks like over the last 3 weeks, the NHL has done 18,514 COVID-19 tests without a single positive result. So, Tony, what can sports learn about how the NHL has handled this?
The bubble works. That's the first thing.
Bubble in Canada works.
Well, not just Canada, but apparently it works in Orlando too.
Truth.
I think what you take from both the NHL and the NBA is that it takes a certain type of discipline from all buy-in from everybody in order to come up with zero positive tests. There's no other way to do it. If clearly the NHL and the NBA have had 100% buy-in, not only from their players, but the coaches, the teams, and that's what it's going to take to run this properly. The issue with the other sports, mainly baseball, is the fact that it's just not possible to have a bubble. So that creates a whole different dynamic in itself. So, if you want to play and you want to have no tests, find a bubble. No positive tests, create yourself a bubble.
Chris, what can sports learn about how the NHL has handled this?
Well, in addition to what Tony said, which is 100% correct, you can learn from NHL players themselves. A lot of these guys, when they're young, leave home, go live with families elsewhere, and do nothing but play hockey. I'm not saying that's the right way to grow up as a kid, but many kids in Canada do grow up that way. And they become NHL players, and they're used to having really nothing else going on in their lives except hockey. So they grow up in a bubble to begin with. Then you ask them to be in a bubble for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they're more than willing to do it, to take their crack at the prize. So some of it has to do with the kind of kids that NHL players produce, or NHL, you know, hockey produces. But most of it is what Tony said, the bubble.
Number one.
Phoenix Suns center DeAndre Ayton did not start Monday's crucial game against the Oklahoma City Thunder after missing a mandatory test for the coronavirus, ESPN confirmed. He missed the test Sunday, according to ESPN, was not in Phoenix's starting lineup. He entered the game in the second quarter, but he was tested again this morning and cleared to play, according to ESPN again. The television broadcast of the game showed him riding a stationary bike near the Suns bench during the first quarter. So, Chris, to reinforce importance, if you miss a test, should you miss a game?
Yeah, I thought a quarter was a little light on this one. I think, you know, but evidently everything worked out okay. So, you know, maybe they did a little more research. But I can certainly understand why you, the COVID cop, would be upset here if you don't show up for your test. Seemed like a game would be a more appropriate suspension, but I'll tell you one thing, that was a big game today, and Phoenix won it, and they're only a game out of that playoff spot. They got a chance to get in, and DeAndre Ayton better not let his teammates down again, I'll tell you that much.
Tony, what do you think? If you miss a test, do you miss a game?
In this case, I'm okay with the one-quarter suspension. They're in a bubble, so him missing a test is different than him getting outside the bubble. He gets outside the bubble, okay, bam, you need to be suspended. But quarter, you missed a test, who knows? Maybe couldn't find his mask to get down there in time. I don't know.
We all have problems with that.
I went to a store yesterday, got there, and realized no mask, and I had to go home and get it.
Yeah. I've done that a couple times. It's my turn. Take us out.
It's your turn, yeah.
Yes.
5 o'clock hour on the way. We got more Padre baseball coming up. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.